Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. Thank you for tuning in today. Well, today we're bringing one of the top Davis stories of 2024 into 2025. About half a year ago, Davis journalists Bob Dunning and Wendy Weitzel parted ways with Davis Enterprise. Bob, because the newspaper/news organization laid him off after about 55 years. Wendy, when she quit to protest the way the paper treated Bob. Wendy writes about local businesses in her Comings and Goings column. And Bob writes about the community and sports under the title The Wary One. Both on Substack now, but until 2024, they did that work for the Enterprise. The newspapers have been shrinking for years, of course, as they lose readers to digital and social media. The Enterprise is a fraction of what it was 15 years ago. Anyway, soon after their exits, each had moved their works to Substack. That's an online hosting service where they attracted paid subscribers and bigger paychecks than they'd received from the paper. The Enterprise came in for a lot of criticism, and that criticism plus years of cuts in reporting at the paper inspired talk that maybe some alternative information sources were starting to emerge in Davis. So, how's all that doing with regards to Bob and Wendy, who are our guests today on Davisville? They wrote two of the most popular columns in the Enterprise, after all. Today we'll get an update, plus I'm going to want to detour into sports for just a bit to get Bob's take on some changes at UC Davis Sports and why they might interest even people who normally don't follow sports. Anyway, Wendy and Bob, thanks for talking with us today.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
Good to be here.
So how is the switch to solo working for you now? I mean, in terms of, I don't know, making a living, readership, reach, however you want to answer that.
Well, it's not a lot different. It's just where I put the news, but it just feels a lot more supported and what I'm putting out. And it energizes me more to do more, take more photos, go a little farther.
Yeah, because you have a more direct connection maybe with readers. Exactly. The digital is a bit more intimate in a way. Bob, how about you?
Energized is exactly the word, because when I worked for the Enterprise, you know, it's the whole paper, and people aren't necessarily taking it for me or for Wendy, although a lot were, but you don't realize that necessarily. They pick it up off their driveway. Maybe they don't pick it up off their driveway. They look through it. Maybe they skip page two where I was and then read Wendy, or maybe Wendy wasn't in it that day, or they're reading the comics, or who knows what, you know, they're reading the obits. And now I realize, and it's kind of daunting sometimes, that every one of the people that is reading my stuff subscribed just to me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing else out there for them to see. So if I'm not producing, they're not getting their money's worth. And you'd think that would create a lot of pressure. It doesn't really, but it is. At times, you're very aware that it's a direct connection to the subscriber that you didn't have at the newspaper.
Yeah, and I guess that's part of what interests me is that, because as writers, as reporters, particularly you're covering the community, part of the reason when that works because people have a real sense of connection. You know what's going on here. People talk to you. You know who to talk to yourself. And you're right, because you reach solo publications. It's more like the spotlight is solely on you guys. And I'm just wondering, you know, if it energized you, has it changed you in any other ways? So the way you report, the way you write, where you look for stories. I'm even curious in terms of if it's found you a different audience, and not just by location, because Bob, I know you've got readers now all over the country. But there are people who don't pick up newsprint, haven't for a long time. But they do read digital. In fact, there was a Pew Research item I saw that 4% of people prefer their news in print now. 56% prefer it digitally. Point being is, by going digital, you've potentially got a lot more readers than you had in print, even though the Enterprise does have a digital presence.
Well, one thing I do is I never took pictures for the newspaper. And my column probably in 55 years had maybe four or five times where there was actually a photo with it. And it was because I screamed at them that, hey, there's this thing, there's this cactus doing something or something. But now I'm actually looking for photos to augment a column. Sports, it takes care of itself. Always had photos. But because we're just online, like I covered women's basketball game last night, we ended up running six photos, six different players, action photos. And that's something I didn't even think about before, because if we had a photographer at the game, that wasn't what I was doing. And now, I mean, people love photos, especially sports action photos. We could run 20 photos. It doesn't cost us anything. You know, it's amazing.
I guess that's true. There aren't really any business action photos, though, are there, Wendy?
Well, sometimes, but with the, something's opening, and I try to get action if I can, or at least somebody walking by the business, just so there's a human element. But I think it's just such a friendlier format. I think sometimes people are daunted by the fact that it's digital, and, oh, I like to read my newspaper, you know, with my cup of coffee, whatever. But then I tell them, well, there's no ads, there's no things blinking at you. I mean, it's an assault on your senses most of the time when you're trying to read something online, and even on the Enterprise, when you have these things blinking and flashing and cutting off the story halfway through, and you think it's done, and, oh no, I gotta scroll past this ad. And so that's not part of Substack. That's what's great. It's supported by the readers, and so they get this really clean experience that's so different than most other online news experiences.
Boy, amen to that. I can't tell you how many times online, here's this giant ad. It breaks the copy completely. And you do. You think the story's over right in mid-sentence, or it's some ad that is just so inappropriate to the topic. You know, you're writing about your mom's funeral, and here's an ad for caskets. You know, I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah, that's the algorithm. Yeah. How are you doing for audiences? I mean, share what numbers you can. I know both of you pretty quickly, right, after you went to Substack, got enough subscribers to more than replace your salary, in your case, Bob. And then, Wendy, you were a correspondent, basically, right? So you weren't paid as much as a person would on salary. But how are you doing for readership? How are you doing for any of those measurements?
Being as I was a stringer, basically, that was paid a couple hundred at the most, you know, a week or even a month sometimes, it was, I'm within the first week, I had made more money than I did at the Enterprise. And I mean, more than I had made the whole year at the Enterprise. So that was exciting. And now I've been able to, I used to just have a bunch of different jobs, freelancing press releases for people and doing freelance stories. And I've cut 90% of them out, and I'm phasing out the final two just because I can, and I'm helping fund my son's wedding next month. It's great. And I've never been, as a journalist, I've just accepted that this is not an income I'm ever going to have, that I'm luckily, I had a husband who's a career lab person at UC Davis and was able to be the main breadwinner, but I've given him a run for his money now.
And is your audience staying with you? I ask because one of the reasons I'm interested 6 months in is because, you know, something new starts, it's splashy. I think people wanted to testify for both of you in a way in town. That was part of what the criticism for the paper was about. But then things settle in and, you know, people go along, well, you know, do I still want to read about sports 5 months later? So I'm wondering if you guys are seeing sustained interest.
I think it might be interesting to see after the year is up. There's been maybe slight leveling off here and there. There was a gift subscription promotion that Substack let us be part of. Substack was paying for a month of our, you know, for people. And so then I saw things level out a little bit when those gift subscriptions expired. But there's a graph you can see, and it's done nothing but go up.
Okay, so you've kept the people who started with you, in other words. And I take your point, after a year, then that's when people would renew if they subscribed at first. So then you'd see what you're...
Right. If they're subscribing, some subscribe monthly. For me, it's $5 a month or $50 a year. And Bob, it's $7 and $70. And so...
Okay. And you're keeping your monthly subscribers, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's just done nothing but climb.
Yeah. I think what happens is with the annual, you get that all at once. You get paid all at once. And so you won't know on the annuals till the year's up. I don't know that there's a mechanism if in the middle of the year they wanted to quit. Can I get a refund? I haven't heard that. Nobody's asked me for that. But
yeah, you probably would. People would. I mean, they're usually not shy of saying,
I've said, yeah,
I hate your work now. Give me my money back.
Yeah. I thought, just knowing nothing about Substack, I figured about 80% would be the $7 a month, and about 20% would be the year. And it's almost exactly opposite of that. I don't have the total numbers. I know them; they're available, but that's what it seems like. And yeah, it leveled off a lot. But it, I mean, I got this huge push early, as Wendy did, and a lot of that. I mean, I get other Substackers contacting me saying, "Geez, I can't get any traction."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, work for your paper for 55 years, then get fired, yeah. and have lived in town your whole life, you know, and your Little League coach is going, 'What happened to Bob?'" It was a unique situation.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, if you take a step back, I mean, there's several stories here, I think, in what you've done. One is just the personal story. Each of you is employees of an institution. And, you know, it says no. And then you come back with more money. I mean, I think anyone who's ever worked for a living probably thinks that's pretty cool. Second, there's this story of you as individuals. But for Davis overall, there's this idea of, and not just in Davis, but everywhere. It's like the old news industry is going away. What's going to replace it? You know, next door, social media, people opining about things that they don't do any original reporting for. Now, in this case, there was someone else who was involved in this, or at least very interested in this. And I do want to mention him because he was part of the story. And that's Brian Boltz, Davis Tech entrepreneur and business person. Now, he sort of helped you each get started on Substack, not as a journalist, but just to support you. Clearly, he was drawn to what you were doing and he saw potential there. He looked into starting a news project of his own, which he called Local Press. And so anyway, I talked with him a little bit ahead of today's show. And I had an email with him. I'll quote from it now. He's very complimentary about both of you, by the way. So I'm referring to his conversation with me now. He said, "After the initial few months of launch activities, I've been in an available-as-needed mode for Bob and Wendy. They've been cruising along, haven't had many business or technical questions for me, which speaks highly of the popularity of their respective columns and Substack's capabilities." He goes on to say he basically put the Local Press project on ice because he had demands and his other educational technologies businesses flare up. He has some in town. But this stuff I thought was interesting, again, just to that larger picture, because he did look into this for a while. And he said, "I still feel there is an opportunity for a sustainable business model to succeed at the local level, in addition to solo publications like Bob and Wendy's. Should a trusted, credible package be offered, I think paid subscribers would show up for it." He said, "I got close to trying to hire initial staff and develop partners, including a notion for training and mentorship. That could have been interesting, but I ended up having to keep funds committed to my existing software projects. It's probably for the best for me personally that I didn't take that step because I likely would have overextended myself if I had, based on this other stuff he's doing." He says, "Substack allows for quick transition for anyone with existing audiences, but I'd imagine building a new audience would be a gradual process. They're not all going to be rocket ships like Bob and Wendy's." And so that goes to your point, Bob, that, I mean, you were very established in town. We've talked before. I think you've written more words about Davis than anybody ever. And, you know, you're just running up the total now. And then likewise, Wendy, your feature, I think, very popular in town. People want to know what's going on in businesses and so on. So,
yeah, no, I've had people ask me, even local news people ask me, you know, for tips. And it's like, well, you need to start with a readership that we are unique. We had our own readership base and loyal followers, and I had already had 6,000 followers just on Facebook. And so it's not the same as all these other Substackers who go on and like, how come I don't have thousands of subscribers? How come I'm not a bestseller or whatever on Substack? And it's, well, it's different.
I'm pretty sure if I launched a Davisville Substack right now, I would not be what are you, 29th in business, did you say the other day?
29th on Substack of business publications, and almost everybody above me, they all have thousands of subscribers, but everybody above me charges more. I charge $5 a month, and these are people, they're higher than me because, not necessarily because they have more subscribers, but because they charge more.
I've communicated with a lot of people that have contacted me and want to talk, and I'm happy to talk with them. But one guy from Alabama who writes a column about historical food, like what did George Washington's cooks have to do? And I read it 3 or 4 times, and it's brilliant, and it's incredibly interesting. And he and I talked, and he's been at it 2 years and has like 112 subscribers. And, you know, it's like, how do you get the word out? It's very difficult. But on the flip side, when you do get a new subscriber, it's as if the boss, let's say at the Davis Enterprise, called you in one day and said, you know, we've got a new device where we can determine how many people are actually reading your column. And you got 12 new readers today, and so we're going to give you a raise today. And then they call you in tomorrow, and they say, well, you had 8 new readers today. We're going to give you another raise. And you go, holy cow, where did this come from? Because we just worked for whatever they were going to pay us. And generally, in my case, it was going down every year. You know, either they were cutting your hours back or they took me off exempt or whatever it was. When minimum wage went up, they cut you out because if you're exempt, they got to pay twice minimum wage. And so you just continued to do your stuff and hoped it was good and hoped people liked it. But there was no awareness that, oh, I wrote a great column today. I'm going to get a raise.
Yeah, and you can watch we get these notifications. You can watch the subscriptions come in when you have a story that people really like.
Yep.
So it is really cool.
There is a potential dark side to that, which is to say that, you know, you could start writing things that pander to an audience. I'm not saying you have. I don't think you have.
I'm not aware of what my audience, just like with the Enterprise, I remember when...
Well, clickbait is what I really mean. I mean, you know, that's why some digital media is lousy with it, because they put in things like, you know, this star sold house for millions
right.
in California.
Right.
And, you know, someone sold a home in Malibu or something. But they present it in such a way that they're trying to get people to click.
Or and they have sponsored content, yeah.
That
clicks through to stuff that they get us.
Yeah, and that can corrupt.
Of, yeah.
That can corrupt
totally.
Good work.
That's not journalism.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But well, I mean,
I've never really, you know, once I start writing, I have no sense of audience. I'm not going, oh, this is going to kill them, or this is going to piss them off, or they're going to really like this. I'm amusing myself.
I suspect it's because you've intuited your audience, Bob. I mean,
perhaps,
having lived
here
all this time, you probably have such a strong sense of it, you don't think about it anymore.
Although I do. It's interesting because I do a half an hour every Thursday on Sirius XM as a guest. We started out talking about college football with the host. And has just now, and that was just during the football season. Now it's after the last season. He said, "We want you on every Thursday." They're not paying me, but he's putting out the Substack stuff for me. He's saying, "You can, if you want to read Bob," and I'll get subscriptions from North Dakota, and I'll get subscriptions from all over, and then you'll get a note from one saying, "Why do you hate Trump? I'm done with you." You know, and you're like, "Good, yeah, I'm not thinking about an audience in North Dakota."
Okay.
You know,
do a quick station ID. We are talking with Bob Dunning and Wendy Weitzel, two Davis journalists who have their own publications now on Substack, Comings and Goings by Wendy and The Wary One by Bob. It was known as The Wary I when it was at the Davis Enterprise. This is Davisville, KDRT. I'm Bill Buchanan. Well, before we leave that subject, and I want to talk about sports for just a minute here, Bob, but, you know, actually, and I should mention this, because if we're talking about alternative possible news and information sources, Davis Media Access actually is creating what it calls YOLO Local. So I just kind of want to disclose that here. It's a new source of community and civic information. It's a little strange for me to talk about it here because it's a DMA project and this show is part of DMA. Anyway, it's a work in progress. People can learn more about it on the Davis Media Access website. And I think it responds to this same idea that it's just harder to get informed about what's going on in Davis than before. You guys have been here a long time. I guess I'm wondering, do you think, you're not trying to create an alternative enterprise, I get it, you're just doing your own thing, and I don't think YOLO Local is meant to be that either, but do you see a need for one, even if it's not you guys, even if you're just going your own way? Is the state of information news in Davis such that either the enterprise has to step back up or something has to come in and fill the void or something?
Well, I've always thought that a local newspaper, I love this level of journalism. Yeah, I used to, when it first started, okay, I'm going to go from X to Y to Z, and I'm going to be at the New York Times or something, you know. And after a few years, I completely, for personal reasons, I was a single dad with two kids, and I was raising them, and I knew the town, and, you know, and I said, well, when they get older. And then when those opportunities came along, I realized, I know this town, I can write about this town. The Bee offered me a column job, and it was like, yeah, it sounds like I should do this. But it was like I couldn't go into Sacramento and make fun of it. I don't know it well enough. I know Sacramento, where to eat or where to go to a game or where to go to a show or something, but I don't know it like I know Davis. Like It's like as a Catholic, I can make fun of the Catholic Church, but I can't make fun of the Lutheran Church.
Right, yeah, because you know it.
And I felt the same way about...
But I mean, I guess the Enterprise, because it has shrunk, and I don't mean to criticize any particular journalist there at all. It's just, it's kind of a numbers game. It's just much smaller than it used to be. And so there isn't that community, there isn't that quantity, that awareness, that scope of community news that there used to be. And I guess I'm wondering, is there room now in Davis, is there appetite in Davis for something to come in and replace that void, something more than Nextdoor or social media or, you know, frankly, even a bunch of one-offs, because it used to be all that was, you know, unified in one place.
I don't know that there's a market for it. I think there's a need for it, but I don't know that anybody comes in. More likely somebody's going to buy the Enterprise and completely gut it more than it's gutted now, which has happened to the Democrat and the Vacaville Reporter and all these papers that used to be really strong and locally owned. I always thought it was a real asset that we were locally owned.
Yeah, and still are locally owned.
And still are locally owned, yeah. But for whatever reason, it's not the paper it was 10, 15 years ago.
And we want, I mean, we're journalists. We want to have a thriving newspaper in town, and we want the community to want that, but we can't make them subscribe or want it. So we can just do what we do best and hope the community can get informed and stay informed. But yeah, it's a shame if they don't want to, you know, to support something like that.
It's the glue that used to keep communities together. You know, how'd the high school do on Friday night in football or soccer or lacrosse or something?
And I think I've heard each of you say that you aren't trying to get people not to subscribe to the Enterprise. You're just, right? It's not a loyalty test. In other words, it's not like people have to read you or them. You're fine if people still read the Enterprise.
That's completely in my past now. I don't look back with any regrets or anything else. I look back with pride that I was there that long and it launched this. But yeah, I don't actively try to discourage anybody from subscribing. Yeah.
I mean, I'm good friends with Lauren Keene, who's the Court and Cops reporter and has been doing that for like 25 years, and she's an amazing journalist. But unfortunately, that she's one of three news reporters on staff, and that's can't possibly cover a university town as big as ours.
Yeah, and the reporting staff used to be, well, you were managing editor.
When I was managing editor, it was probably a dozen reporters. And we had multiple editors, and we always read, like, stories twice. And just things that, I mean, I look at stories now, and I'm like, did this even get read? It's not necessarily the editor's fault. It's just, like, there's not enough manpower.
So we have a few minutes left. Bob, I do want to ask about sports, because one thing I've noticed just as a reader, I read you in The Enterprise, and I read you now for this, and I'm reading more of your sports items than I used to. I think they just come to me, or maybe you're writing them, I don't know, in a way.
Well, you get notified, too.
I get notified, but anyway, on top of that, there is, I would call it a sports story that shouldn't be just on the sports pages, which is to say, business. Any story can be a front page story, and sports is one of them. It's the changes that's occurring in sports because of basically paying amateurs.
Right.
In fact, I get the AP headline here. They had this in December. 2025 is the year we say goodbye to amateur sports. And this had to do with final approval expected for a settlement that lays the foundations for players to receive money directly from their schools. And what was once considered anathema to the entire concept of college sports will become the norm. So we just got a few minutes here at the end, Bob. Can you explain this change and maybe other changes and how it relates to UC Davis and the changing nature of sports in Davis? And Wendy, there may be a business side to this too. I don't know. I mean, because certainly more sports activity in town, I would think, would engender more sort of.
It's interesting because I have a separate sports section now.
Yeah, yeah.
Aware that because occasionally you'll get the note from somebody saying, "I thought I was subscribing to your column, and I don't like the sports." And I send them a note back and saying, "You're getting the same number of columns you always got, but when I started, it was mid May, and UC Davis sports were just about done. And so for the first 3 months or so of this, it was just my column. Maybe there was one story about the upcoming football schedule or something,
but now there's
7 or 8 or 10 sports stories as well. But I don't want them to think they're not getting the other. So it's separate. And
yeah, but this idea of professional sports coming to UC Davis, right? That's what it is if you're paying people.
Yeah, except UC Davis isn't going to have the money. They're not going to get the big share of that pot. that the big time are, because we're not generating income like Ohio State's generating income. We're not selling 105,000 tickets to a football game, number one. And number two, we don't have a lucrative TV I mean, the TV money is out of sight.
Well, so does that mean that the quality of athletics at UC Davis is going to decline?
Well, they're in a very difficult position because they used to have to, if you transferred from one university to another by NCAA rules.
As a student.
Yeah, as a student. But, well, any student could transfer, but an athlete had to sit out a year, which actually was 2 years because you'd finish the 2022 season and you couldn't play till 2024. So it's 2 years. Now you can transfer at any point. And that's because they went to court. Mm-hmm. And the NCAA has just lost all its power. And why can't I be paid? Many athletes now are being paid already. They're not being paid directly by the university. They're being paid by boosters who support the university. And so UC Davis doesn't have that kind of money right now. They don't have the Phil Knight to say, I want to win the national championship. Oregon has paid, through their booster organization, $20 million to players on the football team in 1 year.
So what it feels like, we're going to be the Oakland A's that has a low payroll. And I don't mean to disparage the athletes, not at all. But I think that amateur ideal was pretty...
It was fabulous.
It was wonderful. And that now it's...
Well, one of my daughters is a design major at UC Davis. She could transfer anytime she wanted to any other school. If she came up with some wonderful piece of art or design or something and sold it to Macy's and got paid, that'd be fine. But if an athlete wanted to do an ad for the car dealer, he couldn't. He'd lose his eligibility. Now they can. Yeah. Because they went to court, and the court couldn't come up with a moral argument against it.
So what's that going to do to Davis playing?
Well, what's happening already is the superstars at Davis get plucked by the big shots. They say, hey, you're what are they paying you at Davis? Oh, well, I'm getting free rent on my apartment. Well, we'll give you $150,000 to come play at Cal or Stanford or Ohio State, depending on how good they are. I mean, I can name players, football, basketball, or the two really, where they've been plucked. You know, they make all league. You know, you almost don't want your players to make all league, because if they do, somebody's going to notice them. And every coach in America is perusing everybody's roster saying, this kid looks pretty good. I think he could play for us. And Bill, do you have $100,000 to give that kid?
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a bigger story, obviously. We're not going to get to all of it today, but I guess my interest is whetted. And that's something, Bob, I'll be looking for your column probably to explain.
Many, many columns on that coming.
Well, we've been talking with Bob Dunning and Wendy Weitzel, who each have their columns. I don't know what to call them. Columns, blogs. I don't like the word.
I call it a column. Yeah. I call Wendy's a column.
But I mean, people call these things platforms, and to me, that still sounds too vague.
Platforms, I hear.
They call them newsletters.
Newsletters. I don't like that either.
And I think of what I get from, you know, my local nonprofit or something, which is fine. But anyway, Wendy and Bob, thank you both for talking. Wendy is comingsandgoings.news, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thewaryone.com. And they're both on Substack, but at those URLs, you can find it. Do a Google search. Wendy and Bob, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT, 95.7 FM in Davis, California, KDRT.org online. Thank you for listening.